Welcome to The Word in 10, a production of Dwell Community Church. I'm your host for this session, John Ross, one of the elders here at Dwell. Well, we're going to continue going through Romans 5, so let me just continue where we left off last time. Paul starts in verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. God always planned to rescue human beings through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That's kind of how it works for a perfect and eternal being. God didn't just stumble on a good idea, he always had it in his mind to bring us back to himself and, as this passage points out, do it at just the right time. God's timing is always perfect. Much has been written about the unique historical and cultural moment into which Jesus came. He was born between the regathering of Israel from Babylonian exile and the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans. He was born into the Greco-Roman Empire, which offered sophisticated travel routes, a common language, and other elements needed for rapid cross-cultural communication. One of the reasons the gospel eventually spread the way it did was because of the time in which it was delivered. God used these aspects and others to bring an estimated 1 million people to faith by the end of the first century. Beyond any geographic or cultural factor, Jesus came at an ideal time spiritually. In chapters 1 through 4 of Romans, Paul documents man's gruesome decline in rebellion from God. Proud scorn of God's leadership leads to ignorance, idolatry, and the decay of individuals and society. No corner of life remains unstained, and all human attempts to rescue themselves prove utterly futile. Paul writes, "At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." The Greek word here that's translated powerless actually has a wide range of meaning. It can mean helpless in a moral sense, the meaning captured here. It can also mean incapacitated or suffering from a debilitating illness. Taken together, these definitions accurately describe the human condition without God. So God waited for the perfect moment when our condition became so bad and our self-rescue attempts so laughable. Let's take a second to appreciate the element Paul highlights in this passage. God died for people who don't deserve it. Most of us probably wouldn't die for others. Many would sacrifice themselves for a cherished family member, some maybe even for a good cause or in a life or death situation. But how many of us would look at an enemy, an op, and willingly give our life for his or hers? Yet this is what God did. In reality, his sacrifice is more than we can fathom because of how amazing he is compared to even the most accomplished, heroic human being. That the unimaginably awesome, righteous God would enter into the mess created by mankind and then die for us, this should bring us to our knees in deep gratitude and joy. Many of us listening have heard this message, have thought about this message, have taught this message hundreds or even thousands of times. We still need to hear it. We still need to stop and reflect and see how awesome it actually is. We need to take that jeweler's glass to the diamond and examine each facet to see how truly, unimaginably great and good God really is. Paul insists that, quote, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Some of us like to show off, to flaunt what we do, to gain the praise or envy of others. God's goals are different. What Jesus did on the cross was not some abstract show of heroism, but a painful part of God's plan to reforge love relationships with his people. God shows us his love because he wants us to receive it. Starting in verse 9, Paul lays out two a fortiori statements. This is an ancient style of emphasis that helps the reader think, if this thing is true, how much more will this other related thing be true? So let's walk through this each part at a time. First, Paul writes, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? So, through the cross, believers have been justified. That's just a theological term meaning vindicated or released from formal charges. You know, a lot of the books of the Bible talk about judgment and that God has a problem with sin and needs to deal with it. And so people without the love of Christ and the grace of Christ have to face judgment. So being justified meaning is basically saying that we've been freed from that. That no longer applies to us. Jesus pays the penalty for past, present, and future sins, giving his people a clear conscience and a solid footing before God. So Paul uses the blessing of our current situation, living renewed and free of sin, to help us grasp how awesome things will be when we are saved from final judgment. The second statement essentially works like the first. For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? In other words, God gives forgiveness and peace to his enemies. What exceedingly amazing things will he give to his children? I guess we'll have an eternity to find out. For now, believers have great reason to boast about what God has accomplished to a world that desperately longs to be reconciled to him, even if they don't know or want to admit it. Boasting in God makes a great starting point for taking this passage off the page. To boast in God is to joyously recognize what he's done, but in a way that compels others to think about and thank him. To boast in God is to dispel any notion that what we are or what we have comes ultimately from ourselves. To boast in God is to instruct others how they can achieve reconciliation with their Creator, the true object of our desires and the only stable source of satisfaction. As we boast in what God has done, we should seek to learn more about it. Have you ever noticed how Paul describes the gospel in different passages? The subject is the same, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. But his discussions are not. He examines God's universe-shaping work from every angle. He appreciates each facet and how they join, gleam, and sparkle. That's our duty when reading passages like this. Rather than think, okay, the gospel, got it, work to understand each aspect of God's love and how it's underscored by the author. Finally, remember that God's plan unfolds at just the right time. If our Heavenly Father knew the perfect time to send the Son to die for sins, we can expect he'll know the right time to send the Son to conquer his enemies and rule the world with justice. He did a great job with the first coming. He's going to do just as well with the second. No doubt our world teeters on the edge of disaster. Life is racked by political discord, unrest, natural disasters, health crises. They tempt us to look to human leaders or institutions for security and stability, but only peace and reconciliation with God provides what we're looking for. It can feel excruciating to await the final chapter of God's divine rescue mission. Maybe that's why Paul encourages believers to consider the long-term benefits of salvation. If we were rescued out of a fallen, hideous world when we were still God's enemies, how much more can we excitedly anticipate how we will come through now that we are his dear friends? Nothing can change where we're headed or what it will be like when we ultimately arrive. For more sessions like this, visit dwellcc.org.